breaking news into the fan just a few minutes ago. Emmanuel Forbes to have surgery on the UCL in his thumb. Now, I'm not a doctor. When I think UCL, I think like Tommy John,
I think
elbow.
My elbow, yeah.
That is normally not a thumb thing, but I guess there's one in the thumb too. He jacked it up. He needs an operation.
I guess there's UCLs everywhere. I didn't know that, so I learned something today. Yeah, I mean, listen, this is one of those things where it was impossible for me to really and truly believe that this group was going to make this huge leap this year and start to compete. And this is kind of an example. And it feels a little bit mean to pile on Emmanuel Forbes, but it's just kind of by way of example. Because you're sort of stuck, this is a first-round pick. You're not just going to cut him. You're not just going to move on from him. He's got 3, potentially 4 years left if somehow he gets to the point where you'd pick up his option. I don't think that was ever going to happen, but maybe it could, where it's cost prohibitive to move on. It's cost prohibitive to go find a free agent corner that you think would be an upgrade, right? So you go bargain shopping. You go with guys that you know, the Igbinoganis, the Mike Davises of the world. You find guys that are available on the fairly cheap, and you plug them in to try to implement your culture. But you're going to see if a first-round pick from last year can play. You're going to do that. That's elementary. That's routine. But it also means it's prohibitive of this renaissance transformation where they're going to jump up and start beating everybody each and every week. I just don't see the path there. So, but for him personally, that's just such a bummer. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, as you said it before we went to break, everything's been piled on him. It's just somehow it's his fault that he was drafted that high.
Fast start.
He needed it, and he didn't get it.
The opposite has happened. Yeah. He had a bad game. Really, it was a play that made him kind of the butt of jokes, where he got 2 15-yard penalties I've never seen before, the PI and the face mask. And now you add to that you got hurt, bench/hurt, both at different points during the game, and now he's not going to be available for the short term, and I don't know how long moving forward he'll be out. But speaking of feeling bad piling on, this does not make them worse. The lack of depth hurts, and clearly you probably now have to elevate a corner off of the scrap heap. I don't know who plays that, you know, would not have been available because of inactivation, or maybe you elevate a corner from your own practice squad or something. But playing, if Michael Davis, let's say, is healthy and available and ready, getting him into the lineup, or seeing Noah Igbinoghene more, maybe this means that we actually get to see more Mikey San Ristel outside or Quan Martin covering more. You just can't convince me that this is like a deal-breaking setback for this defense the way that he has played.
Mm-hmm.
He was their lowest graded player this past week. So hopefully he gets healthy, because the only way for him to continue to get better and to develop and frankly to become a rosterable, startable contributor is for him to just continue to improve. And that's not going to happen while you're rehabbing from this thumb injury, obviously. But I don't think this is a damaging loss from a personnel standpoint, the way he's been playing in any way.
I think that's very well said. And again, there's no way to separate it. I do feel bad for him personally, but we're talking about football and football production, and I don't think he's very capable right now of producing an awful lot. So a replacement-level player would be more than welcome.
Here's where I think people are wrong, though. So I just got a tweet from someone named Todd. Appreciate you listening in and hitting me up. At Grant H. Paulson on Twitter and Instagram. Danny's at Funny Danny. He said they should have cut him during training camp. No, they shouldn't have. Why would you do that? He was a first-round pick last year. Who, let's just say he was a fourth-round pick last year, and at that point you're on the roster bubble, and who knows, maybe he gets cut. I bet he doesn't, because he actually won a starting job at training camp. A, they don't have good cornerbacks. It's not like there's 3 really good corners that don't get to play because they're busy playing Emmanuel Forbes. They don't have depth of proven, legitimate players at that position. Their other starter is a third-round pick that they had here, who I like a little bit, but who has also really struggled and not really had a whole lot to show for his couple of seasons on the grass after being drafted by the previous regime either. So that's number one. Number two, he did, in college, used differently, obviously, show that he had an elite trait, and that was his ball-hawking skills. That was his playmaking ability. He broke the record for pick sixes. When you get the ball in his hands, which hasn't happened yet, obviously, and he's in space, he has a knack for making plays after the reception, so to speak. So it's not like there's nothing redeemable about this guy. He has ball skills, and he has the ability to do something after he picks off a pass. Now, we haven't gotten to that point yet, but this idea that he should have been cut is just silly to me. Whether he should be starting or not, definite conversation. Whether you would bet on him ever becoming a first-round caliber player, Of course, sure. But I feel the same way about him as I did Jamin Davis a couple years ago. They shouldn't have cut Jamin Davis, who's fast and physical, and find a way to use this person. That's what coaching is. Find a way to take this SEC athlete who was exceptional at an SEC program and did something no one had ever done before in college football and find a way to make him rosterable. That's the job. And oh, by the way, I've been told what geniuses we have in terms of coaching up the secondary and making DBs better with their coaching and how the last group was so terrible at it. So figure out a way to make this guy not terrible. That's the gig.
So I take a different tact and get to the same conclusion. To me, it's about salary cap. There's nothing to be gained by moving on from, I'll start with Jamin Davis. You would have owed him $4.5 million just for the fact that his name is Jamin Davis. Cut him, don't cut him, whatever. If you want to keep him, if you don't think he can play linebacker for you, have him on special teams. Find something for him to do. He can be the backup holder. He can be the guy that holds the clipboard. He can be the guy that claps the loudest when good things happen. But there's no reason to cut him. $4.5 million whether he plays or doesn't. That's number one. And then you go to Forbes. You've got 3 years left. You would have owed him $12.6 million of dead cap money. For what? To prove some point? No, there's no reason to do that. You take your time. You see for sure. I've already got my mind made up, by the way. I don't think he can play at this level. I don't think he can be effective. Maybe I'll be wrong on a second or third stop. But there's no upside in that. Just the realistic way that rosters are constructed. It would be a pointless, futile act of a temper tantrum just to kick a guy because he didn't play well. He's got some athletic traits, some skill set. Maybe the next regime could find it or the next place can find it. I don't know that anybody here is going to. But you owe so much money, it's worth trying to figure that out.
The outside corner rotation with him injured, and we'll find out probably based on whether he's IR'd or not, the length of the recovery. But St. Juste, who maybe travels, I don't know. Maybe you have him run around with Malik Nabers, who seems like a guy you should probably be starting on your fantasy team.
Just worry about him, yeah.
Noah Igbinoghene, who played a little bit outside on the boundary for Forbes this past week, and then Michael Davis, who somehow didn't play, who was one of their additions, who played a lot of training camp on the outside. But those are the guys initially. The good news is, outside of Nabers, there's just nobody on the Giants who worries you.
Yeah, Wandale Robinson got 12 targets and I think about 8 yards in week number one.
He really had 12 targets.
He got 12 targets, by the way. Yeah.
Good God. I wonder how many of those were like he was the guy when they threw it out of bounds. But still, that's preposterous. I'm not even doing a bit.
But it popped me.
But yeah, that's gross. And that team, from a weaponry standpoint, has been bad for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of Nabers, with Barkley now in Philly, still is. So thank God you're not playing a team that, you know, like the Vikings or the Dolphins or something this week where, you know, you've got Hill and Waddle and just wide receivers out the wazoo.